We sit on the eve of Heir, Yom HaAtzmaut, and the obvious question that we should ask is, what was Rav Kook's hardcore attitude towards cooperation with the then Zionists? Remember, Rav Kook died in 1935, which at that time meant that if you were a Zionist, you were a Zionist specifically to give you an alternative to being frum. This was a new definition for Judaism.
There was no concept in a Sioni Dati?
There was, without question. It was a faint voice. And you really have gotten to the core. There was a Mizrahi, and that was Sionut Datit. No question about it. So, if we take that point of view, and let's say, discover that Rav Kook was a Tzioni Dati, then how does he go ahead and substantiate in his philosophy that this is the way it should be? I want to get into what Rav Kook's attitude was to the so-called other Zionist world by first just reading three or four lines from a Naturi Karta publication that was printed both in Hebrew and Yiddish, about 40% Ivrit and 60% Yiddish, summarizing the position of Naturi Karta as far as Atzmaut, independence. And needless to say, it meant the Atzmaut, the independence of the state, and all of its implications. In the Hebrew section, this was written about 20 years after the rise of the state, which means about almost 20 years ago.
What's the difference between Atzmaut and Chavshei?
Atzma'i means you determine fate can't be determined by you, or your destiny by definition, but you determine where you go. Atzma'i is the opposite of Eved. All right? Chofshi is a synonym, but today Chofshi means that I'm entitled to establish any criteria that I want that will satisfy my independent notion. Now, Rav Kook certainly wasn't Naturi Karta, but listen carefully how we're going to springboard into Rav Kook by simply following the conclusion of this pamphlet. We declare and want to publicize for anyone who has said Shema Yisrael and maintains the pure faith that has been accepted from our fathers, anyone who belongs to the children of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, anyone whose father's feet stood at Sinai, anyone who went ahead and yelled Naaseh V'Nishma at Sinai, we come to declare that you have no part and parcel or any slightest kind of shaychus, connection, with Medinas Israel. Ah, even if it were Haredis Lamahadrin, from Black Hat, Haredis Lamahadrin, even if it were from Black Hat, you have no connection whatsoever if you believe in these things that were just stated. Even if the state were to succeed and capture the entire world, you'd have to say, and this is me talking now, you'd have to say the Rabbeinu Shalom must have allowed us to do something, right? So the state must be right. You have no business with the state. Even if the Beis HaMikdash were to come and be built, and fire from heaven would come down in that spot, you have no business with a state. Zionist independence, Tmeohi, is totally degenerate. Tum'oh Haluta, absolute Tum'oh Ve'olamis, and forever. It's not like any other Tum'oh that would pass with time. And has absolutely no connection whatsoever, not to the concept of Am Yisrael, Ve'lo Ligu'ulasam, and certainly not to the concept of their salvation, of their Geula. About 20 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. A pamphlet was called Be'ur al Ha'atzmaut, a position paper about Atzmaut. Now, did you hear the position? It is impossible, even if a Beis HaMikdash were to be built, and if Eish Min HaShemayim, a symbol from the Rabbeinu Shalom himself, were to be cast forth. Where did we see in Tanakh this? Where did we see in Tanakh this picture of what? Eliyahu HaNavi. Where somehow he prayed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aneni Hashem, Aneni, whoom, bam, and a bolt of lightning hits his Mizbeach to indicate that I, God, answered you, Eliyahu, as opposed to the Nevi'e Habal, to everyone else. You were saying?
But to tell the Jews, not to tell the Shemayim, it doesn't matter. We determine.
Well, the Shah. I hear what you're saying. Remember, however, that when you speak about Torah Jews, they too are Torah Jews.
Yeah, so he's saying that. Okay, the symbol for the Shemayim doesn't matter, not because Hashem is crazy and he made a mistake, okay, or whatever. Now, because Hashem told us that we're not going to depend upon symbols from the Shemayim.
In order for you to fairly understand their position, you would have to go through the entire position paper. There's no question about that.
I'm just that one, okay, little part.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming from the Shemayim.
I hear what you say. But even a hard-baked rationalist like you, Mike, if that were the case and you were zoche to be able to see the Beis HaMikdash built by human hands, but be imprimatured by a divine bolt that hits on the Mizbeach, I think even you would soften up and say, you know, maybe it's okay. This is the position in the Torah Kata. It is a Torah position in the sense that people who are frum maintain it. Unfortunately, there is one man I wish to have alive today whom I would want to sit with and submit all of these documents and let him, with his medical and psychiatric credentials, write a psychoanalysis of such a position. In his absence, and I'm talking about Eric Fromm, in his absence, maybe I will take pen into hand and see what I can do. There is a branch of psychology today that is called psychohistory, trying to take factors and movements in history and impose upon it certain psychoanalysis principles to try to show why Hitler, from a psychoanalytic point of view, was Hitler, why Martin Luther was that way, why Jesus succeeded that way, and so on down the line. There may have been someone, I think, who started to write about the psychohistory of Zionism, but I don't think he or she, I'm not familiar with the work, even considered the issue of the Torah mind, sometimes referred to by so-called Zionists as the ghetto mentality, in trying to understand what is operative here from a psychological point of view. So we'll leave it there. But it has to be stated, and it has to be dealt with. There are no two ways about it. I'll yet try to deal with it. But the contention, give me just one more sentence, Rob. The contention is that there is no way to synthesize, and that's the key word, there's no way to interface a frum community and a non-frum Zionist entity so that we work together. These are mutually exclusive ideas.
I understand to a certain degree this position, but what I have trouble understanding being neutral about your interests.
It's not up to Torah standards, so I don't have to support it. But what I have trouble understanding is why you have to be anti. Like, you know, I don't support it, I'm neutral. It could be in Uganda. But a bunch of Jews get together in Uganda, or World Park, or Fistayek, so I'm high to support a bunch of Jews wherever they are. Let's consider Futsal Arts. There's no Kedusha. There's nothing special about Eretz Israel. But a bunch of Jews live there. So let me be neutral. Where do you see within Halakha the Torah Kodesh to be Dafka and to try to undo?
Be'alta Haromi Kirbecha. Bialta, you shall exorcise and cut out any ra that is in your midst. It is a cancer, and you have to get rid of it. You have to dissociate yourself from it to the extent that you, your people, and those who are of like mind are aware that you are not allowed to be influenced, not this, from what goes on over there. No, for anything, any ra.
Uh-oh, so what's the difference between Eretz Israel and Gaza or Borel
Park? Listen to them.
So what?
From this perspective, it's all the same.
No, and I'll tell you,
I'm not anti-Borel
Park. Wait a minute. I'll mix another one in. It is the same mechanism that doesn't allow for a Jew to walk in to a house of worship that doesn't have a mechitza, that calls itself reform or conservative. This is not a Jewish entity to me. Finished. Doesn't exist. And what's more...
Then you're neutral, though.
Oh, no, that's not neutrality.
Or then what?
Nine people are standing on the corner and waiting in a so-called Reformed temple for their minyan. And they want a tenth Jew, and you are the tenth walking by. Okay? And you don't go in. It's because you say, this is ra... And I am not going to touch it. I will not walk in and have services with an organ. Simple. Same thing here.
Well, how do I live in America? There's also Ra here.
Good.
Every place you go. So what's the difference between here and here?
There is a slight difference. There is a subtle difference over here. Since we are not living today in a perfect milieu, an atmosphere, and that is Golos, Rabbeinu Shlomo understands in his infinite chesed that things cannot be perfect in Golos, and umipnei chatoeinu golinu me'artzeinu, it is because of our chatoim that we are here in this imperfect state, and it is our yearning and hope that we will be able to ascend to our original pristine heights. So if we do make certain mistakes over here, if there are certain tactical boo-boos that occur, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will forgive. In Eretz Yisrael, given the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and its centrality to the specific notion that Jews are totally different, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Eretz Yisrael totally, in a totally different fashion than he relates to any and every other land, we're not entitled to make those mistakes.
You mean I can be irreligious here?
I didn't say that. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam will give you more latitude here, understanding that it is Golos, than you would have in Eretz Yisrael. And that too is a pasuk in the Torah. Velo saki ha'aretz eschem. If you pull the shtick of immorality or lack of frumkeit in Eretz Yisrael, the land will vomit you up. Not so Poland, not so Russia, not so America. Eretz Yisrael, yes.
Suppose I go into Meir Shalim and I put four walls around myself and I only let them come through to think like me and I live in Israel and it's up to my standards. Good or no good according to the shit?
Very good. That's exactly what they do.
That's what they do.
You see. That's exactly what they do. I don't want your money. I will not vote for you. You let me live. Don't you invade or infest my society. We are going to create a barrier against all of these external influences.
Hospital.
Pardon me? Bikur Cholim Hospital in Yerushalayim was the hospital for Mei Sha'arim.
You've got a Hadassah hospital.
When necessary, yes, and certainly Shari Tzedek also. But originally Bikur Cholim, and also if you remember, if you remember Yerushalayim, Bobby, if you remember, there was also when Mei Sha'arim was built, which was one of the first sections outside of the old city. Remember, it's not in the old city. Montefiore, 100-some-odd years ago, and others such as Jacob Schiff, also built, there is a Marpeah, there is a health clinic.
On Strauss,
right over there, because it was there to serve the needs of the Mei Sha'arim community of 100 years ago, that was founded 100 years ago. Now, they built it themselves, so to speak. All right, Rob, you got it?
Then you can support Israel, or at least that section. They don't support it.
They consider their living a totally other entity than anything and everything that we call the State of Israel. If you will recall, there were certain fights a while ago between some in the so-called Eda Charedis, which was the central communal body of Mei Sha'arim and their ilk, and others who are Hasidim, who started to take money from the government to finance their yeshivas. You know, when the real crunch came about, and there were fist fights in the streets. There were stink bombs and paint bombs that were thrown into the leadership, into the home of the leadership of those who started to take money, specifically because of the fear that the walls were breaking down. We will not touch any of it. We will never be infested with it. Now, okay, yeah, and Lubavitch broke ranks over there. Now, you've got to understand that position clearly, and I came not to give you a shiur in the Turikarta, to be able to contrast what I've put in front of you as far as Rav Kook's position with the same matter, and you hopefully, I hope, I will be able to convey to you and you will be able to see why this man is singular, sui generis, and why they hated his guts so. And still do. You were going to say, Reb Chaim.
No, I didn't.
Okay?
Yes.
The four sheets that I have prepared for you here are nothing more than variations on the same theme. The problem that we are dealing with here is simply a problem of how do I relate to these Zionists? Is there a philosophical basis by which I can either state that I'm going to walk hand in hand with them, or I am going to completely reject them? That's it. Now, I've seen fit to reprint 1, 2, 3 sources. There is yet a fourth one, which is impossible to reprint at this point, but I'll yet find the time and a way to get into it. This is Rav Kook's answer. Let me just summarize, beginning with line 1, let me summarize what's going to be. He says, in the days of Mashiach, there is going to be a situation whereby the forces of Torah and the forces of Zionism are going to interface with one another, so that when they do, they will create a new parallel electrical charge, a surge that will bring Mashiach itself. Now, even if I don't give you the gory details, can you see why Rav Kook can be ostracized? I mean, if I give you a simple mashal, you have, it's a favorite mashal that I have and I constantly repeat. You have, for your little prized possession over there, or yours, or yours, or yours, you have a birthday party, and you invite the entire family and friends and the child's, your child's peers. and you get yourself a $36 sheet cake from Carvel. It's this big, and it says, happy birthday, whatever. All of a sudden, when you take it out of the Carvel box and put it on the table, it is sparkling in its whiteness and brilliant roses that are either in blue or pink, depending on who your child's birthday is, okay? And all of a sudden, you see that in addition to the white and the pink and the blue, there is on the side over here, there's a little dark brown spot in the lower, in the southwestern corner where Texas is. And you look closer over there by Texas, and you see that this brown spot happens to be walking around. And you look still closer, and the brown spot is suddenly freed of all the icing on the cake, and it's a cockroach. What would you do with the whole cake? You wouldn't act logically and say, well, look, the cockroach was buried over here. We'll cut off a little piece over here, a little schmitchick from Texas over there. Leave it alone, and then the rest is good. You'll take the whole cake and you'll throw it out that minute. Now here Rav Kook is coming and he is saying, Gevul, you have this, the souls of these so-called Zionists, and you'll soon see how he characterizes them, and you have the souls of Shomrei Shalom Emunaseinu, those who have protected our Yiddish. Okay? And they have to interface with one another. Well, Rav Kook says there is a defect in each of the souls. And the only way to heal the defect is by these two things coming together. Let's take a look at it. Line 1. Hanefesh shel poshei Yisrael shebe'ikvus ha'mashiach. When you look into the soul of who? Poshei Yisrael. Help me. Who's Poshei Yisrael? The biggest skunk in the world. When you call someone a Poshei, you are not calling him not frum. You are calling him the biggest lahachasnik that you have ever seen in the world. Hanefer shall Poshei Yisrael shall be ikfasat mashicha. Whoever you can picture in your mind who is this scoundrel, this Jewish scoundrel in the times of Ikvasad Mashiach, when Mashiach is suddenly coming. Who are they? Says Rav Kook, Osam Shehem Ischabrim Ba'ava El Ilyanei Klal Yisrael. You see these dregs of Jewish society? I'm talking about the one Shemitchabrim Ba'ava, who come together with love, El Inyanei Klal Yisrael, concerning themselves for the entire nation, L'Eretz Yisrael, concerning themselves for Eretz Yisrael, U'Litchiasa Umah, and concerning themselves that the nation once again relive, revive itself. He Yoter Mitukenet, this soul has somewhat some better perfection. Tikkun, He Yoter Mitukenet, is somewhat better perfected. Mehanefesh shel Shlomei Emunei Yisrael. It is somewhat a little better than the soul of those who have Shlomei, who are at peace with Emunei Yisrael, with the faith of Israel. Who are the ones who are at peace with the faith of Israel? The Frum. She'ein lahem, provided that the Frum ones, ein lahem zeh hayitron, don't have the plus, shel ha-hagashah ha-atzmit l'tavat ha-klal, who have absolutely no feeling for the benefit of the entire nation, nor do they have any feeling u'binyan ha-umah v'ha-aretz, to be able to rebuild our nation and our land. If I were to stop there, I would tell you that I would only give you lies, because Rav Kook continues. He says, aval ha-ruach, but the spirit that animates this soul, whom mitukan habeyoser, etzel yirei Hashem v'shomrei Torah mitzvos, says, if you want to take a bet, you probably should put your money on the Frum Jews, because they have a spirit that animates them, that moves them, that is far broader and much more basic. Afal pi shahal gasha atzmit. וההתעוררות של כוח פעולה בענייני כלל ישראל אינם עדיין אמיצות עולם, אצלם. Even though you'll argue with me that when it comes to the welfare of the nation and peoplehood of Israel, they still don't hear what's going on, but they have something there, and that Frumkeit counts. All right? Now, he is not contradicting himself in the second sentence. What he simply is saying is... What? Well, okay. Now, if you would go, please, to the middle of line 8. Umimela, I've skipped the line over here. Soveles gam hanefesh mipigameihem. So there is a defect in each one of the nefashos. And hatikun sheyavo al yedei oro shel Mashiach. And this defect will be healed by the light of Mashiach. Sheyazor laze harbei devar hahitpashtut shel Talmud razei Torah v'gilui oros chokmas Elokim, which will help, Mashiach will help, trying to spread the light of Torah and the light of the wisdom of God, b'chol tzuroseh haruyos lehigalos, in any and every way that it is proper to be revealed. And what's going to happen when this defect will somehow be healed by the light of Mashiach, hu sheyasu Yisrael aguda achas. The result is going to be that all of Bnei Yisrael, the two types of souls, will come into one unit, aguda achas, and as a result of that, titukan hanefesh shel hayireim shomrei Torah, the souls of we who are frum, titukan, will be healed, al yedei shleimus hanefesh shebeposhim hatovim, by the advanced nefesh of those who are the scoundrels, hatovim, who are good. Now, poshim, by definition, is a noun that or is an adjective that you call someone who is totally corrupt and bad. When you call someone a poshea Yisrael, you want to put a bullet through his head. How can you, therefore, at the end of line 11, say, sheba poshim hatovim, these good scoundrels? How can you do such a thing? Unless it's a misprint. I guarantee you it's not, it's a misprint. You know why? Because he says that the frum soul is going to be not only healed, but further developed, line 12, biyachas le'inyanei haklal, concerning things which impact on the entire nation. V'tikvot hagashmiyut v'aruchaniyut, and all of the dreams that we have, whether for physical or spiritual things, hamusagot b'hakara v'hagasha enoshit, that can be seen and felt in a certain humanistic society, will come to fruition. Line 13, v'haruach shel haposhiim ha'elu, and conversely, these scoundrels and their spirit, titukan al yedei hashpa'atam shel yirei Hashem shomrei Torah u'gidolei emunah, they will be healed by the influence, by the hashpa'ah of those who fear Hashem, of those who are shomrei Torah, those who keep Torah, u'gidolei ha'emunah, and those who are recognized as the giants of faith. U'mimela, and as a result, yavo le'ele u'le'ele or gadol. As a result of this interface, whether you are the Zionist who only cares about a nation, but wants to help Jews as a result of it, or you are frum, and you can begin to see beyond your nose other than your Torah u'mitzvos. They are both defects that can only be healed how? By the bringing together of these two. And this is the only way that we can bring Mashiach. And as a result, this is going to impact on tshuva shlema, on true tshuva for the entire world. And line 15, the preparatory step to Geula is our being able to get together. If that happens, that is the final pathway to Mashiach. Now, in all of these fancy words, you understand what he said?
On Yom Kippur, during the Avoda, the 10 spices, 9 and 1 good.
Yeah.
Same drasha here.
Oh, there's no question about it. The chiddush is for him to apply. You see, it's so easy, Rob, when I go ahead, forgive me, and talk about symbolic matter in the times of the avoda. We can fantasize in an ideal manner. We say, but I'm afraid you're taking those symbols too seriously. Because if you will survey those who daven, you know, what are your kavonas at that time? When you speak about, you know, the Lavona, and then you bring it in with all the other, when you say Pitam HaKetores, if you would survey people, what are your kavonas there? What would you get? What are you bothering me? You have to say it. Pitam HaKetores, you have to say it. How many are there?
I don't understand.
No, I even understand, but how many will bring such imminent kavanos that we are talking about the fact that we've got to go ahead and take these stenchful Jews and make them into sweet-smelling personalities? How many truly seriously take the Russia to be literal? How many do it? You know, I tested this out Erev Pesach with a bunch of kids, high school kids. I really said to them, Tachlis, you want a Russia at your Seder table? They gave me every cockeyed excuse why they wouldn't have a Russia at the Seder table. Yeah? And you want to know what was innovative about it? That they were quoting Makoros that they had learned from Chumash, from Mefarshim, from Musar, from Kabbalah, you know, run away from a Shachin Ra and everything. So I asked him, okay, I'm accepting everything you say. Now how come can I get our Bonim Dibra Torah? And they wouldn't, every rationalization in the world. Now when Rav Kook goes ahead and puts it squarely in the present tense, 20th century and Zionism, I have a bunch of Jews, Weizmann, Ben-Gurion, I know there are some who spit when they hear those names, Golda Meir, etc., and so forth, who have absolutely no regard whatsoever for Frumkeit and for what we maintain as Kedusha, the other 10 spices over there, and whose record indicate that they fought religion quite assiduously. All right? These are the guys that Rav Kook is putting into this Poshe Yisrael camp, who were concerned for some strange reason about the welfare of Jews who otherwise would not have been able to find a spot for themselves. Now you understand where Rav Kook is coming from to be able to isolate himself so? That only in very quiet circles and small. Understand? Well, look.
Consistent.
Sure. Now, so consistent. Let me tell you that he goes even further. Let's turn quickly to line 48, which is the next page. This, by the way, this second page from a sefer called Arpalei Tohar, the second page. Arpalei Tohar was not printed until very recently. Somehow it is one of his dynamite books that were never fully printed in his days, and until his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, was nifter, it also wasn't printed. And when you go through it, although bits and pieces filtered into his other works, when you go through it, you see there are certain things there that he says that are absolutely dynamite. I got two camps, guys. I got the Frum guys, and I got the Treif guys. All right? Each one of us is vying for leadership. I say that we cannot build a state according to Torah. We need modern law. We need modern ideals. We need a new style of living. You say the Torah is the blueprint for us to live by even today. How do we bridge this gap in leadership? How do we go ahead and try to bring these two segments together? Line 48. Says Rav Kook, concerning the matter, HaMachlokes Shel HaDeos Al Dvar HaDrachas HaKlal. Leadership. the machlokes that we have concerning who should be leaders. In Bazman Hazeh, if we were to refer it to our day and age, when we would characterize our day and age, Sherabu Pritzim Nosim Degel Hefkerus Piyad Ramon, that we have the absolute, the lowest kinds of scoundrels who carry the flag of leadership. Now the question is, option A, Ra'wila Hafrides Ha'uma, shall we go ahead and split away from them and split the nation? Shehak Sheirim, line 50, Nosei Degel Hashem Hashem, Lo Yelaim Shum Yachas Im Porkeya Ola Poshim, so that those of us who carry the flag in the name of Hashem will have absolutely no relationship with these sinners. Or do we have another option? Shema Koach HaShalom HaKlali Machriya Es HaKol. Maybe for the sake of general peace and togetherness, that should determine everything, and we have to stay together. Do we split from them, or do we stay together? No. What does the firm world say? Split. What does Rav Kook say? First understand what's behind the whole machlokas. The end of line 51, he says, Kol ikara shel plukta zu, he says, the entire division of opinion, bo'o mipnei hashiflus haklalis. The whole reason for both sides arguing the way they do is because we are both in such a low spiritual state. Now let's work it out. The non-frum want to split from us. Why? Because they don't see any value in frumkeit. This is shiflus klalis. This is the pits. You know, that's the only word that I can use to describe to us who sit here today what it means. This is the pits. That Jews for thousands of years have gone ahead and become so discontent, so alienated, so disenchanted. We've never seen anything like it before in our lives. Thousands of years we've had reason to be disenchanted. Thousands of years we've had reason to be alienated. Here, when we're finally coming back to Eretz Yisrael, when things should be on an upswing for these guys, boom, Zeligendreld. It is never as low as could be. Values are zero for them. He says, but that's not the only thing. We Frumis have the same zero factor working in our camp. You know what it is? That we dare not rise to the occasion and show the world the way it really's got to be. We don't have the gut, because it's shiflut klalit. It's both sides. We don't have the guts, the wherewithal, the practice, the motivation, whatever you want, to see that in us rests an answer to this problem also, because we have not projected with pride that there is going to be leadership from Torah, and Torah can go ahead and take the helm of leadership. That's why we are equally to blame as they are. Shaddai in the middle of 52.
I can't call it because Mary is mine, because we never from Yidden would vote. What's the percentage of Frum Jews in Yerushalayim compared to the non-Frum? I mean, if they were to have a general election...
No, they're not a majority. I hear what you're saying. But let me put it differently. If the Jews of Yerushalayim were to reach out, each one, to two sides, to the left and to the right, and just try to build Yerushalayim together as the eternal city that it was supposed to be, rather than the rock throwing, rather than the incitement, rather than the hate.
That's the big problem. They have a Teddy Kalach in Achshemol, as the mayor of Yerushalayim.
Okay, but listen. Again, listen to me. You're right, Bobby. There's only one problem for Rav Kook. Teddy Kalach became Teddy Kalach because of the fact that just as much as he wanted to suppress Yiddishkeit, we the Frum,
nice,
have given him reason by virtue of our way of dealing. Teddy Kollek is a politician. Politician knows he wants to buy whatever he can for his power. Now, when you deal with the Frum on the basis of simple political exchange and bartering, then their Frumkeit kind of loses the luster. You know? The fact of the matter that sitting in Yerushalayim, and again, I'm not making a political statement here, but sitting in Yerushalayim today, a very beautiful, wonderful Steinlach, who politically are the biggest human whores that the world has ever seen. The same way there are sitting in Yerushalayim politicos with their knitted yarmulkes, who are the lowest kind of human prostitutes that the world has ever seen. Simple. That's why I think history will write we had a Mormon center. I'll give you a simple example. How much ratables would a Mormon center bring? What was it, $25 million investment in Yerushalayim? Maybe more. Is there one who would say, Kollek, how much are you getting from the Mormons? And they knew it early. You're getting $100 million. Good. We need the money here. We've got to build a city. You are the master builder of this city. No two ways about it. Kollek, listen to me carefully. We'll get the $100 million. We'll go to Bronfman. We'll go to Tannenbaum. We'll go to Reichman. These are from names. We'll go to Gruss. We'll go to Zev Wolfson again, and we'll go to Wolfson in what do you call it, in England. We'll make a worldwide trip. We'll come back, give us a year, and we'll come back with $100 million. Simple, you won't have to do anything. Tell me, if you were Kollek, and knowing what you know about Kollek, he'd refuse the offer? You're crazy. He would take it tomorrow. Simple as that. He would take it tomorrow. $25 million for the actual plant, the actual piece of real estate, and for further investments because of the building and the jobs and so on and so forth. Another $75 million tomorrow he would take it. Money is money. What difference does it make to him? But it was suppressed. They went like ostriches, and they shoved their face in the sand. They knew it to begin with. They didn't think it was serious. And Kollek is he's a very serious builder, that's all. Wants money. He doesn't care where he's going to get it.
Who shoved their faces in the sand?
In all of the preliminary stages of this project, it is coming to light that from all political parties in the Frum camp, they all knew that something was doing, but they were too darn busy backbiting each other and worrying about each other and to see if we can get away with it. And I dare say that that's what's going to happen later on. This is what Rav Kook, this is the way I understand Rav Kook, calling Hashiflus HaKlalis. We're all in the pits. We are all in the pits. Meaning that we can't see beyond our nose. When you have a certain sense of mission, and you can do that and perform that mission with elegance, then you want to know something? You have power. There's power there. And that power attracts other power. So from the power of intention and the spirit to be able to dramatically get the power of the finances and the money, that's what you call sgula. That is a people that's sitting up on top of the, you know. But we sold out. Go ahead.
Can I say something? I have to say that I say with a lack of knowledge. I am constantly astonishing you. I don't understand you. You too sometimes, but this is
talking to Rolo.
Yeah. I. The big thing about our chachamim, our people, We say that a shivcha at the time of Yamsuf was higher madreza than the Yecheskel Navi. We don't have the ability to innovate. We sit here, we languish. If we find something in a book, maybe we'll follow that. But if we don't find it in a book, we can't innovate. Our Rabbanim in Europe, and again, I'm out of my league in saying this, seemingly told many of our landslide, many of the people over there, to stay there, stay in Europe. Don't run away from there. Stay, get slaughtered. We'll be here. Is this your model, your ideal of what you want? What I'm saying is that the great majority of our firm population, based on what I could see, and there were many, many exceptions, but I think the great majority were the ones who were happy to sit where they were. They were sitting in their little chairs, studying their little lots of Gemara in their little ghetto because of the circumstance, unfortunately. But they weren't the type that you...
But why are you not being grounded with that?
What are your role models?
Tell me, you're on the front. I think he's projecting this back, and he called another Jew
Yamach Shemo, and that Jew represents a segment of Judaism which is not from, which is against the law of ideals that you stand for. But they went and they made the land.
Not the lay community. We're talking about the so-called
religious. Yeah, I'm against what he did on a religious thing. But he tried to do something. In his mind, he's not trying to kill him. He's marrying my cousin, Tom Mido, his Mahavdil,
who's a Jew.
I think I understand.
And they expect
to kill him. We have
Jewish.
To disagree, maybe.
My cousin said to him,
she doesn't have sitting down in the book and...
For the record, one at a time. All right?
She doesn't even have to intermarry. She doesn't even have to convert. He's making conversion. He won't give any money to our mikvah because he knows that Mr. Dresner can't come down from Wayne to make a conversion in the Pesach mikvah. He won't give any money to his mikvah.
Bobby, if Dresner gave you $2.5 million to build the yeshiva,
would I let him make a conversion in the mikvah?
No.
Take his money.
Would you take his money?
Of course, I take his money.
Would you take his money with a smile and the Ashikar, or you give him the Yamach Shemo routine?
I would take money from a guy.
I hear
that's
you.
That's the old major brother question. Do you take the money from them and you give them, you know, a certain amount of control, a certain amount of pat on the back, you know? You know, I mean, that's the whole.
This is Shiflus Kalis. The fact that we have to stoop so low and that we don't see within our own resources that we'll be able to accomplish our goal and have to sell out the way we do to a Mormon center, let's say, or whatever, that's only a representative thing. There's a big problem. That's a big problem. We don't begin to want to take upon ourselves the responsibility for getting the job done.
They could have taken money from
you. Yeah, with all due respect, they claimed here that the leadership here claims that when they built the Bikram, they turned down money from reform institutions and the Babich even, because they say, we have a shita, we're not going to deviate from this. Thank you very much for no thank you.
Good. Now, yeah, you've been very patient tonight, sir.
The rabbi said about Teddy Collins. Maybe we would have given him $100 million. We would have swayed another side. I think they should do the Khalid and Teddy Collins, but he's not identified himself. We bet as the root of Yudichino. He lost his Jewish identity. To him, a Mormon or yeshiva is on the same level.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't think that the $100 million, which of course should have been attempted, was the issue. I don't think he's so occupied with building Jerusalem is to make Yerushalayim such a metropolitan area, the center of the world.